Okay. So good morning. We're back and we're going to pick up from last week. And the question was asked, why wouldn't an older woman teach and train other women on what it means to be a biblical woman? And I'd ask you to consider some of the challenges that might come up out of that, that as to why, what's stopping that from happening? What are some of the thoughts that came out of that? We're blank.
One of the first ones that I thought of would be just that the person feels inadequate, like the person doesn't have the woman that wants to do the teaching or the training doesn't feel that they're equipped or that they are godly enough or that they are enough to do that.
That the woman is not equipped, isn't godly enough, feels like she needs to get more training herself, even understanding that she probably has more experience and more knowledge and more trust in Christ than the younger woman that might need her her input and her wisdom. Not feeling quite as confident in herself as she could be. Maybe a little prideful about it. I don't know if that's the right word, but I think confident is the better word. How could we encourage an older woman who is feeling that to take the step to seek out a younger woman to draw alongside of?
I think we're all works in progress, and so... I think kind of what Cassie was saying is might feel like, well, I don't have the skills or like I haven't lived my life very well. Like, are they going to learn from me? But it's like there's knowledge in that too. Of I wish I had done this in my younger years or, sharing that side too. But I think to just start.
Just do it.
Yeah.
What is it that... the word I hear a lot among women is, I just want you to be transparent with me. Admit that, okay, I don't feel confident, but God's going to lead us both through this. God's going to direct us so we can learn together and encourage someone to do that. I thought a real practical way of reason why is that maybe there aren't any older women. Thinking in some of the groups, mm-hmm. in some age groups or some churches, maybe there isn't an older woman by the biblical definition of what an older woman is. Mm-hmm. And some of the younger women need to step up and take the role of the older woman in that situation, older in experience, older in her walk with Christ. What about the fact that... we're more of an isolated society, too, than what we once used to be. We're much more independent, much more willing to hide inside our homes or hide inside our work or hide with our kids. And as the younger woman, not be as willing to make the time to have someone help her along.
And busy.
We've got singles that work full time. We've got moms that work in the home. We've got moms that work in the home and moms that work another job. And you want me to do what? But think back, 100 years or so ago, how did the women gather together and encourage one another in homemaking and encourage one another in family relationships and just living life together? We don't have that environment anymore. I think we have it more in the church, within the church. I have to tell you, the help that I've received these last couple of weeks of women just coming and drawing alongside with physically, doing some of the packing, and it's been fun. Somebody come over for a couple of hours and pack and talk. And I was thinking a lot about this, of just what an opportunity that was that I really wasn't expecting. to be able to, yes, I was getting help, but to be able to live life with this woman that was with me. I was really, really enjoying that. Can you think of any other, do we have that going on in church here today? Is there, do you sense a need, or do you sense that that need is being filled? Are our younger women feeling like us older women are giving them enough attention?
Well, I think part of it is, like, we have to be willing to, like, ask and take the first step and not, like, oh, there's no program in place, or just, like, no, like, you have to go sometimes seek out an older woman or seek out a younger woman. And, like, somebody sought me out. It's just, like, I'm the older woman. Like, I don't have that much more life
but you were
experience than you
older,
do,
yeah.
But, you know, I had a little bit more, and it was like, well, you sought me out, so sure, I'm learning along with you.
Yeah. And would you have been as willing to seek her out in the first place? Would you have been willing to take that step?
Well, for me, I feel like I'm not an older woman.
Right.
And, like, there's so many more qualified people for her to reach out to, but it's like,
and
that, you think of me as an older woman, so I'm going for it, okay.
And that's a lot of the older women feel that maybe I'm intruding in her life. Maybe she doesn't want help. Maybe I don't belong there. So there has to be a two-way communication with that. And as some of the older, and I'm talking to the choir here, really, but maybe we need to encourage the younger ones, as we know, to be willing to say, hey, you know, I'd like to have a friend draw alongside me. But remember, according to that, what the definition of teaching is that we talked about last week, teaching is not just drawing alongside and being an, oh, I love you, let me pat your hand and let's get on with life and do this. Teaching had training, had coaching, had exhortation, had admonishing. You have to, okay, if I'm going to draw alongside, part of our ground rules are, yes, I want to love you along the way. And part of that love is going to mean that if I see you doing something that needs to be corrected, I need to have the freedom to discuss that with you. And we need to be able to have that give and take. And I think some are a little bit hesitant to try to be that open with their lives, of opening up and having somebody examine and say, I have not done this properly.
Could it be possibly too, because in church culture, so many things are so separate, and like you said, our lives are so individual, because there's not a lot of opportunity unless you also kind of seek it out. It's like, even here, say if you have a Bible study where the younger ones are encouraged to be around the older ones too, because then they're going to learn. You know what I mean? Because
uh-huh.
It's like we've got so many separate things going on, and even just church in general. So it's kind of odd. I think it would be, it's hard to, you know, when, you know, like if you go to church on Sunday, you kind of do your thing,
uh-huh.
Right? And so when is there opportunity for the older women to be around the younger women?
To be more intentional about,
yeah,
incorporating and being more intergenerational in
working, because there's so much to gain and learn. Because I can tell you, for me, I want both my girls to be here and hear what a godly woman would say. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The woman, you know, would have to teach. So I think,
and they have to feel like they are included, and that you're not in in another class.
And I think there's the idea of the older women, and then there's also mentor. Like being a mentor too, because you know you can mentor somebody who's maybe closer to your age, or
sure. And mentoring normally carries a little bit more of a connotation of a more of a structure, where just what Titus is talking about here. It's just living life together and teaching these women what it means to be godly.
And I think with Pastor Mike's background, our church has moved very much to this multi-generational dimension.
We sure have. We have moved very much more towards it.
And I know that personally, because of the ministries that I'm involved in, we encourage the younger women, the younger girls and high schoolers and Anchored girls, to seek out the older women. So, and I said, you know what?
Are the high school girls seeking them out?
They are, it is very scary for them.
Right.
And I just tell them, they're not that scary. Just as
right. The person you're seeking out is just as nervous and scared about entering into that relationship as the person seeking it.
So we keep pushing that.
That's great.
We keep asking the question of, who is your Paul?
Right.
Just like Paul and Titus and Timothy, having that relationship, who is your Paul? And I think that has been transformative, whether or not, at least they're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Who is the person, am I looking around for an older woman, whether they are 10 years older or 30 years older, that I want to learn from, that I see their life in such a way that I want to emulate.
I want to gain. I see that we have taken huge strides in being more intentional about that here. And that is very encouraging.
So maybe what we need is like this class. It's like, okay, so we're getting it. We're like, okay, we need to be the older women.
You've got to be the older women going, right.
We need that encouragement.
Right, to just move on.
You know what I mean? Because the kids are getting it.
Yeah.
And then so then the women need to hear. So maybe in women's ministry or something where it's just being presented.
Being presented, but I think that we also need to personally be convicted about being able to step out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking with my cousin here a while back about teaching on Titus, and said, here I am, an older woman teaching, and I go, who's my older woman?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
She challenged me back to, well, you are the older woman, but besides all that, I'm 9 months older than you, and I'm your older woman anyway. So that works, so that's kind of where we're going into. Because we talked about the need to, today we're going to talk about the what to. So before we get into Titus chapter 2, we're going to be looking at the verses 3-5. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for these women that are here this morning. I want to thank you for the encouragement that each one offers to me, the encouragement that they offer to one another. And Father, I pray that you would open our hearts to your word. May it speak boldly and loudly into our lives. And Father, not only that, but may we listen and take heed to what it is that you are saying. Father, give us hearts of compassion towards one another. Help us to see the women, older and younger, regardless of their age, Father, but help us to see them in their walk of life and how to be compassionate towards them, to draw alongside them, to truly be sisters walking together. And I thank you, Father, for the love that you give us for one another, and I thank you for being here with us today. Thank you that you have promised to teach us, and we are expecting that teaching from you this morning. We commit this time to you in your name. Amen. So, Titus chapter 2. Beginning at verse 3, and we're going to focus on verses, the latter part of 3 and verses 4 and 5 today, but I'm going to get to the passage here. I sent Mark's Bible in to get rebound. I just got confirmation that they received it. We're both very excited about that getting redone and get it back in his hands. He's using his one of his older Bibles, and he says it still is a little bit unfamiliar now that he's gone on to this other one. Okay. Verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. I'm going to remind you again, what are these women like that Paul is encouraging Titus to be talking to the older women about teaching. These are women that have come out of a pagan culture. These are women who have very little self-worth. They don't consider themselves of high value. I mean, after all, their husbands go out carousing all the time. Their husbands might have multiple wives, but at least multiple concubines. Deuteronomy 24 had been expanded to include divorce. So there's a lot more divorce going on in this society. And basically, the women just didn't think of themselves as, not even as high as a servant. They just felt like they were a commodity, that they were a thing, an object of their husband. So when they came to Christ, God had given them all of the resources that they needed to become godly wives and mothers, but they didn't know how. I talked with someone many years ago and have continued a conversation, and this person made the comment to me, I know that what I've been raised in is wrong. I know that. There's no doubt in my mind that I know that this whole environment, everything that is being fed into me is wrong, but I don't know what is right. And that's where these Cretan women were. They knew that Christ had come into their lives. They knew that the lifestyle that they had was wrong. But now what are they going to do with it? How are they going to become godly women? So Paul is encouraging Titus to get these older women to mother hen these new believers and to teach them, to love them, to guide them into godly living. It wasn't something that was just going to happen and just come on their own. So we have to remember that a Titus 2 woman isn't a woman in perfection. As we had part of our discussion here, we're all a work in progress. And it's an imperfect woman that's been saved by God. She has been energized by his grace to live an exemplary life as described in Titus 2. Exemplary, not perfect. These are characteristics that we can all grow in. So last week we talked about the five characteristics of a biblical woman. We talked that she's reverent, that she walks in a manner that's pleasing to the Lord. She speaks good about people. She doesn't slander. Her lifestyle is under control and she's not addicted to unhealthy behaviors. She teaches what is good and she trains a younger woman. Remember, the word training is training, teaching, exhorting, admonishing. It's a word, a heavy word, with a lot of meaning behind it. It's not a fluffy word. And she has been given the command to teach younger women in seven specific areas. And those are the seven areas that we're going to look at right now. Now, each one of these seven areas, we could spend at least a month going through. If I'm going to go through these seven areas, I have about 2 minutes per area. So we're going to hit bullet points as to what needs to be, what we can use as a tool in teaching a younger woman. If there's any of these that you want to spend further time on, let me know and we'll adjust in upcoming weeks and spending more time on it. This is going to be an overview bullet point at best. So in teaching a younger woman, first thing is to teach her to love her husband. These women didn't know how to love a husband. Teach her to be a loving wife. Teach her to be totally devoted to her husband. Teach her that if she doesn't even love her husband, that's okay. She is to train herself to love him. Teach her that love is a choice and that obedience to God is a choice. Some quick suggestions, and you guys can fill in your own, but this is just some quick suggestions as to how you can teach her to put her husband as number one. She's to decide her husband is her number one most important relationship in her life. She's to seek her husband's friendship. Haven't had this experience, remember. Pray for him daily and specifically. Our hearts and our minds change when we pray for our husbands. Protect her time with him. If he wants to spend time with her, drop everything. Man, am I struggling with that? Just in little things. We're in the motorhome. It's tight quarters. Mark and I are at one table studying together. When he's studying, I want his attention. I don't care if he's studying. If I have something, I want to talk to him about it, right? When I'm studying, don't you dare interfere with me, you know? And I had to start thinking, you know, that was what my feeling was coming back at. Wait, he wants just a few moments of my time. I need, even in that silly situation, I need to protect that time and give him my attention. Praise him. Don't tear him down, and don't tear him down publicly. Forget all of these little barbs that you can throw at a husband publicly. Forgive him and forbear. One of our favorite studies that Mark and I have done is going through Gary Chapman's The Five Love Languages. And this has helped us with our marriage. And we've shared it with quite a few people, but there's five things that really convey love. Number one is spending quality time with your spouse. These are things you can teach. Number two is giving him words of affirmation. Bless him, speak well of him, express gratitude and thankfulness, build him up, respond in a positive way. Another is acts of service. Do things for him. Learn what his likes and dislikes are. And do those for him before he asks. Physical touch and receiving gifts. We had a little, we had rehearsed these this morning, and Mark's leaving, and I said, hug, hug, hug. I want a hug, because I'm physical touch. And I said, you're not giving me any quality time with that physical touch. You know, you're not being real sensitive about it. He goes, yeah, I don't have much time to give, and I'm off. And so we were just laughing that, you know, we might not always fill each of these, but by joking back and forth with each other, that meets a big need in our life too, because we have acknowledged it to one another that this is what we need. Oh, I know. I told him, oh, you know, you give the best hugs in the whole wide world. And he said, yeah, but I don't have enough time to give them. That's what it was. And as I'd mentioned earlier, pray for him. Pray specifically for him. Not that God would change him. Pray for his needs. You know, don't use it as a sounding board of, God, this is what my husband's doing to me. But use it. God, work in his heart. Protect him. Help him with whatever you know that he is facing that day. And then Ephesians 5, 1 to 2 says, to be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. To imitate God. Secondly, we're to teach them to love her children. Teach her what it means to be a mother. I thought, well, what does this look like to be a mother? And of course, the passage that came to mind is 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8. But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother, tenderly caring for her own children. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you'd become very dear to us. Teach the younger mother the principles of love. Go back to 1 Corinthians 13, that love is kind, love is patient, love is not provoked, that love endures. Use that passage as to what love is. Doing daycare, on more than one occasion, I've had mothers come in and say, I have my kids and I don't know how to love them. This isn't all that as uncommon as it might sound, that moms consider their kids a commodity and they really don't know how to love them. So no wonder we get comments that the 21st century's child might say that he or she doesn't feel loved. Cared for, maybe, but don't know what that love is. Of course, that one of the best ways to communicate love is to pursue love yourself, to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then to put on a heart of compassion. You can teach her that she can communicate genuine love. We can go back to Chapman's five love languages that we just mentioned. by touch, by special words. She can love that child by verbalizing and placing a high value on that child, put high positive expectations on that child. Paint a bright future for the child and communicate what that future can look like. And again, pray for that child. Be a student of your child. Know what that child likes, what that child doesn't like. Know what the child, what sets the child off. Know what makes the child joyful. Study him, study her. Look forward to that child coming home. One of my best times with my kids was waiting up for them coming home from a date. Not to check in on them, but because I know that the minute that they walked in the door, they were ready to tell me what had gone on. They were full of excitement about their date. And if I waited until morning, that excitement was gone. And if I waited until morning, how did it go? Oh, fine. We had a good time. But if coming at night, it was dump time. Good, bad, indifferent. It was wonderful. I loved it. And always, always, always keep a conversation going on with your child. Raising a child is an endless time of conversation. So as the older woman, you're to teach the younger woman to love her husband, to love her children, and to teach her what it means to be self-controlled, to be discreet. Teach her how she can make wise decisions, how she can make wise choices. Teach her what biblical priorities are. Teach her how to make wise commitments. Teach her to keep one's mind safe and sound, to protect what it goes into your brain. Teach her to face reality. And teach her that family talk stays within the family. Teach her that she's to have a God-controlled mind, a word-saturated mind, a Christ-seeking mind. What's one of the greatest influences on our minds and on our decision-making and priorities today is the influence of the media and how much we're saturated with the media. I read a little section here. It's from the Grace Energized Woman by John Samuel Barnett. And it says, if you choose to be entertained by godlessness, it will callous you. If you choose to be entertained by sensuality, it will defile you. If you choose to be entertained by violence, it will desensitize you. If you choose to be entertained by evil, it will distance you. And if you choose to be entertained by worldliness, it will discourage you. Satan is the accuser. He wants control of your mind. He wants your decisions. He wants your priorities. He wants your family. Give her the tools to resist Satan. Remind herself that she is treasured by Christ. John 15, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Not only that, but in 2 Corinthians, remind her that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. In Ephesians 1, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved, because Jesus has reconciled me, I am accepted in Jesus Christ, and she is accepted in Jesus Christ. So teach the younger woman to love her husband, to love her children, teach her the importance of self-control, and teach her how it is to commit to purity, to a sanctified life. Teach her what it is to be chaste, how to be trained in holiness and purity that pleases God and allows the Holy Spirit to work. Remember that her body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living there. Teach her how to keep her body clean. Teach her that what pleases God in dress, in behavior, in conduct, and in speech. And have us read Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 12. And I thought that really addressed this purity issue very succinctly. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. And in today's society, things that I would never have dreamed would have been spoken of in public that was only shameful in dark are now coming out and are very commonly proclaimed, where and we need to protect ourselves from that. We may need to teach her to make choices to be Christ-like. Some verses on purity in addition to the Ephesians is 1 John 3:3, anyone who hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. James 3:17, but the wisdom for above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Teach her to seek to avoid being a cause of temptation. She's to have a purity of heart that is noticeable on the outside, but not to be enticing to the other, to the lusts of the world. So you teach a younger woman to love her husband, to love her children, to teach her the importance of self-control. Teach her to commit to purity and encourage her to make her home her focus. That's not saying that she can't work outside the home, look at Proverbs 31, but that the home is to be a focus for her. It's central. She's not to be perfectionistic in it, but to consider that anything and everything that she does in her home is an act of worshipful service to God. And she's called to do the work of homemaking by God himself. It's not a position, it's a priority. It's an attitude of the heart. Proverbs 14:1 says, the wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. Managing the home is what God believes is best. When you're talking to her, you could ask her some questions such as, what are some values that you'd like to instill in your home? And how can you accomplish these? And how has God uniquely gifted you to create a home for your family? Teach the younger woman to love her husband, to love her children, to teach her the importance of self-control, to teach her to commit to purity, to encourage her to make her home her focus, and to teach her to be kind. Kindness is the law of her tongue and the flavor of her life, and she is to be known for being kind. How many of you get on the phone with unpleasant people, waiting on hold for forever, and then when somebody finally comes on, where's your pressure point? Oh, Lord, control my tongue and my attitude. Help me to be kind in all situations. I can be firm. That's okay to be firm, to be bold, but in the midst of being firm and bold, to be kind, to not be belittling somebody for what they're doing. Teach her to serve with gladness. Teach her compassion. Teach her what it means to be a humble servant. Teach her how to be purposefully hospitable. And hospitable is not to impress, but to share. You have somebody into your home not because you want to impress them, But teacher, that it's because you want to share what God has given you with an open hand. God tells us to love one another and to love strangers. 1 Peter says, the end of all things, this is 1 Peter 4, 7 through 10. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Hospitality shows kindness and goodness. Invest in kindness and speak gracefully in a graceless world. And ask God to help you with that as you are teaching her. Then the biggie, the one that everyone would just as soon not talk about. Teach the younger woman to love her husband, to love her children, to teach her the importance of self-control, to teach her to commit to purity. Teach her to encourage her to make her home her focus. Teach her how kindness is to define her and teach her biblical submission to her husband. And as you know, this is something that we could spend all morning on, but what I want to touch on is submission is equal with different roles. It's not being subservient to him. Submission is a grace-filled woman accepting the relationship of marriage that God designed. This is God's plan. And submission is willingly subjecting herself to God's order for marriage. Submission is not just for women. It's not just for wives. It's, as I said, it's not to be subservient. Submission is a command for all believers. Submission is to humbly live out what God has called us to be and to do. Ephesians 5 and 6 speaks quite a bit on submission, and I'm going to touch on just some quick points here. 5:21, we all are to submit to each other. 5:22, wives are to submit to their husbands. 5:23 to 33, husbands are to submit to the picture of Christ and to the church. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, children are to obey or to submit to their parents. Ephesians 6, 5 through 8, bondservants are to submit to their masters in an employee-employer relationship. Ephesians 6, 9, masters or business owners and managers are to submit to their heavenly master. And Ephesians 6, 9, everyone is to submit to their heavenly master, to God. So submission is not just something that is a role that is put out, that women are single, or wives are singled out to do. We all have a role in submitting to someone, somewhere. And ultimately, we all are under submission to God and to his authority. And that's where our focus needs to be. Remember that submission really is a picture of God, a picture of love. John 14, 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. God's commandments shows his love to us. Our marriages and our personal lives are to be an example to the world that will point them to our awesome God. And this is what we need for ourselves. This is what we teach to the younger woman. We are to demonstrate to the world Christ's love for his church and to demonstrate sacrificial love to one another as Christ has demonstrated his sacrificial love to us. And marriage is God's training grounds to prepare husbands and wives for greater service for Christ. So we've read through here, we're to teach the younger women to love her husband, to love her children, to teach her the importance of self-control, to commit to purity, to encourage her to make her home her focus, to teach her how kindness is to define her, and to teach her biblical submission to her husband. When we submit to God, when we begin to trust in Him with all our being and stop leaning on finding our own way, our lives start reflecting God and He directs our steps. Sound like a familiar verse, doesn't it? Proverbs 3:5-6. I'll close with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Father, we've gone through this quickly and there's so much left to be said. But God, I just trust that You will fill in all of the gaps with Your Holy Spirit of wisdom and purity and truth, Father. And teach us what we need to know. Teach us how to teach the younger women. But God, first of all, I pray that these truths will be evident and be real in our lives. Father, I thank You for our husbands. I thank You for children. I thank You for the ministries that You have given us. Help us to stay self-controlled in our speech and in our attitudes. Help us to stay pure, Father. Help us to walk in a manner that is truly pleasing to You. We ask this in Your name. Amen. And I feel like going...